Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your love and your watch care. We thank you for our church and its location and the leadership that you have provided. Now be with those that's in need, those that's in the hospital, those who are receiving home health care, those that just need a helping hand. Now lead, guide, and direct us in our service today. And if there's anyone here that need to make a decision, let it be today. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will continue on with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing number 249, Glorify Thy Name, 249.
Back. The youth returned from North Carolina last night. We got back, pulled into the parking lot a little after 11 last night, and I pulled back into my driveway a little bit before 1. And so I have an excuse this time if I fall asleep during your sermon this time. But it is great to be back here, and I ask you all to return tonight as the youth share, and you get to see a glimpse of how they served and honored our Lord in Ridgecrest, Asheville, North Carolina, over the last week. Man, I am so proud of those youth and just the tremendous works that they did, and I know that God is pleased with them as well. And so come back tonight, and you'll hear from the youth, and they will be performing some songs that they practiced and worked on together. Other announcements today, be in prayer. The nominating committee is on the prowl. I mean, now they're on, on duty trying to get a hold of folks to fill in positions that are needed for service throughout the church. And so be praying now that when you get that call and they say, hey, can you, this is yes. Right? Amen. So be praying for that. Also coming up on June 24th in the Family Life Center from 10 to 2, we're going to be celebrating Miss Ginger and the few years that she has served as our church secretary, and just honor her as she is committed to honor the Lord these years. And so that's on June 24th. Of course, I can't not tell you about VBS coming up quick, right? June 19th through 23rd from 6 to 8:30. There are classes for everyone. Doesn't matter if you're 6 months old or the other range. There is a class for you. Please plan on coming, but you need to sign up. There will be a dinner beforehand if you want a dinner, and I think the cost is still $1. Is that true? $1 per person. What a bargain, right? But you have to sign up for that as well. So make sure that you sign up out in the foyer after morning worship. Also, the GA's mission project for this summer is the Baptist Friendship House in New Orleans. This is a big deal, and I want you guys to really pray about how you can help in the collection of these resources, and you can find all that stuff on the back of your bulletin. But let's load up a whole bunch of stuff and let's send it down there. So be praying for that, and you know, you can clean out your closet. It's time to anyway, so let's figure out what we can do for the Baptist Friendship House. And I think that's all the announcements. Brother Jerry said that after church tonight, this is only if you come and hear the youth, you get ice cream and cookies. So make sure you are here so that you can partake and ice cream and cookies after listening to the youth. And it's a perfect opportunity to sit down with those youth and ask them personally some things that went on during Fuge. Well, the good things that went on at Fuge. It is good to be here this morning. I want to welcome you to Hillcrest. Visitors, thanks for coming this morning. And we invite you as well to come and enjoy cookies and ice cream after church this evening, but we want to welcome you, and the way we're going to do that is we're going to stand up, and we're going to sing as we shake hands and hug nuts.
Seated. I want to see that 6 month old that Steve was talking about. That talk, yeah. He ought to be a football player. Yeah. Well, we are glad the youth are back. I've got some really good reports about the ministry that they performed, and it was at a nursing home, so I'm excited to hear just how it touched some of their youth. And I don't know about you, but I've been praying for them all week. I want them to really learn how to take care of senior adults in nursing homes, just in case, you know what I mean. But it's good to have you guys back, and tonight we're going to hear from them, and it's always exciting to hear our young students tell us what took place and how it affected them. And they all are different. Sometimes it's three words, but you see the excitement in those three words, and sometimes it's regular. I don't know what you call it, just a regular testimony, and it's just all good. So be back tonight and support the youth. We're going to pray, so look around. There's people traveling. Some are at home sick. Just take a time and pick out a name or two, and you lift those names up to the Lord, and I'll pray for us. So let's go and pray. Father, Lord, how we love you and praise you. What a privilege it is, Lord, to be a child of God. We thank you, God, that you've called us into your family. Lord, you spilt your blood for us. We believe that you died on that cross for our sins. And the only way, Father, to experience salvation and eternal life is through belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, for those that do not know him, Lord, that you would help us as a church to reach out and share the gospel with others. Those, Father, in foreign countries, they need missionaries. And God, I pray that we would send willing missionaries to tell them about the love of Christ. I do pray, Father, for our church in the future, Lord, that you'll give us opportunities to serve you. And as you do, we'll say, yes, Lord, we'll do it. And I thank you, God, for the blessings that you poured out on our church. You've given us so many tools, Father, to reach others for Christ. Help us to be faithful to you. I pray, God, for those that are traveling, that you give them traveling mercies, those that are experiencing hardships in their lives. I pray, God, that you would touch their life in a way that they would just know that God's there. You've got everything under control. I continue to pray for our country, knowing, Lord, that you know what's going on and you've got a solution for it all. And I pray, God, that we just trust in you. Be with us, Father, as we sing, as we pray, as we open up the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that everything we do and say would bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. We love you and praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, children, come on down. What do you think I'm going to talk about today? Anybody got any idea what I'm going to talk about? I think I'm going to talk about missions. Things that you said when Jesus was, he hung on that cross and he died and they buried him, he came back to life. We call that the resurrection. Big word. It just means he came back to life. And then he walked around a while. Some saw him, some didn't, but many people did see him, and he talked to people. He also ate with people so that they'd know that that's Jesus. He's real, he's God, and he's a human being. So when he was leaving this earth, he did something. He arose from this earth and went to heaven. So listen to what the Bible says about that. Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? You know what gazing means? What's it mean? Yeah, you're staring. It's, I could almost see the sun shining, and they got their hand over their eyes kind of blocking the sun. And there goes Jesus. He's arising into heaven. He's going back to the Father. And why do you stand there gazing into heaven? And this is an angel talking to them. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, he will someday come back in like manner. But the question is, why are you gazing at Jesus? And it's almost like he's talking to us, quit staring, go to work. Quit looking up to heaven and look around on earth to see things to be done for the Lord. When I read that verse, it talks to my heart about, I look around and I see people in need and I can help some of those people. Or I can pray for them. I can do all sorts of things, but I can't do it as I'm just looking up there. I can hear Jesus talking to me, Jerry, get busy about my work. And that's what the kids did this past week when they went to a Fuge. They were about the Lord's business. They served God. They were able to go to a nursing home and talk to people in the nursing home and pray with them and hold their hand and sing with them. Steve was telling me that they would do worship time with them and sing songs like we sing here at church. And some of these people are in wheelchairs. Some of them, sometimes they can't think very good. They've lost their mind sometimes, their memories. And then they started singing The Old Rugged Cross and Amazing Grace, and some of those people that were like this, they came back and they started mouthing the words of Amazing Grace and The Old Rugged Cross. That's things that we can do. We can go share with people that are in need. We're going to watch a video, just a short video of what they did. So when I get up and turn the lights out, you guys watch up here and let's see what they did, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Watch up here. Thank you. Did you see? It is fun. They always make it fun, but they also, some of the fun things make us work together. Some of those kids never met each other, and then they learned how to work together in harmony. And that's all those games have something to do with making us know each other better and working together. And then they take that experience and go out, like, did you see them singing the two songs at the nursing home? They take all that love in their heart and share it with others. Can you guys do that? Maybe one day you guys could go to Fuge. How many of you would like to go to Fuge right now? I don't know if I could do it, but I'd like to go. They sure did play hard, didn't they? Yeah. All of us, every single one of us, no matter whether we're 6 months old, 6 months old, or 60 years old, we can be a missionary for Jesus. You guys too can too, okay? All righty.
Oh, hi, Danny. Hi, Danny.
And you may remain seated as we continue on with number 243, Sweet, Sweet Spirit, 243. And if you would please stand as we continue on with number 182. What a Friend We Have in Jesus, 182.
Jesus, we love you.
They sure were good. We are so blessed to still have a choir. So many churches have done away with their choirs, and I thank the Lord that we have people willing to sing. If you would, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, we're going to look at a couple verses. We'll read 1 through 12. And I think if you studied this over and over and over, you'd probably get about 14 different meanings. There's a lot of stuff going on in this, these scriptures. Luke 14, starting in verse 1. Now it happened as Jesus went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But they kept silent, and he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. And then verse 7, so he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Then Jesus also said to him who were invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind." We're going to look at this several different ways. The title of it is Out of Place. So I want to ask you a couple questions. The first one's kind of like a loaded question. How many times have you been in a predicament and you didn't know what to say? The reason I say it's a loaded because, never mind, you'll just have to figure that one out. But sometimes we get in a predicament, we just have no idea what to say. Have you ever been invited somewhere or invited to some kind of function and you didn't know what to wear? And you, without calling somebody, you just choose what you think you ought to wear, and you get there, and if it's a function that requires a tie and a suit, you wear a tie and a suit, and then you get there and nobody else has a tie on or a suit. They're just in casual clothes. Don't you feel a little bit out of place? I've done that several times. Put on a tie and a coat and go to a preacher thing, and I'm the only one dressed up, and I want to take my tie off as soon as I get there. You just kind of really feel out of place. How many times have you gone to an event and as soon as you get there, you know you don't want to be there? This happened to Rhonda and I about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. We went to a wedding at Clarksville Country Club, and it was some of our ex-members. And as soon as I got there, I knew I shouldn't be there. They had an open bar, and everybody was drinking. And we sat down, we got away from the bar and went and sat down where they're having the ceremony. And even during the wedding ceremony, there were some girls in front of us. We all had chairs, and they were right in front of us drinking their champagne right in front of us. I told Rhonda, I will never, ever go to a place like that for a wedding again. So if you ever have a wedding like that and you're going to have drinking, do not invite your preacher. He will not come. And I've made some mad about that already. I felt out of place. Have you ever been to something like that and you feel out of place? You're a Christian
and you know it, and you ought, there's ways we ought to act and ways we ought not to. So I just assumed that everybody felt like I do, but they don't. All of us have been in a situation where we feel out of place, and that's kind of what's going on. Jesus has been invited to a supper. How do you think he felt? We're going to start out at verse 1. We're going to try to figure out how Jesus feels as he goes to the Pharisee's house. So look at verse 1 again with me. Now what happened, as Jesus went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. Jesus was present, but really, do you think he wanted to be there or not? The others, I know, did not want Jesus there. In fact, his presence made them very uncomfortable, and the Bible says that they watched him closely. They stared at him. They couldn't talk the way they normally talk. They couldn't carry on conversations like they normally do because Jesus was sitting there, and they knew better. They didn't act normal around Jesus. What they didn't know was that Jesus knew what they talked about when he wasn't around him. He knew what they were thinking when he wasn't around him. He knew how they acted when he wasn't around them. But so far in verse 1, nothing said or what we read makes Jesus uncomfortable. He's there for a reason. He's there for a purpose. And we'll get to that purpose in just a moment. Jesus went in the house of rulers and Pharisees to eat on a Sabbath with them. That's the whole setting. These were men that Jesus had had great disputes with, the Pharisees, over the Word of God. He went there not to be one of them, but he went there to love them and be a godly example to them. I want you to picture that. I would have felt out of place being there, but not Jesus. He knew where he was going. He knew these Pharisees, the ruler of the Pharisees. Yet he went there with the intention of not getting his feelings hurt, not getting feel out of place, but to share the Lord Jesus Christ the best he could by setting an example for them. The Bible says they in turn watched Jesus. This word watch is a word used for interested and sinister espionage. They looked at Jesus as he was a spy. They were just laying in wait for Jesus to do something wrong. They were trying to catch him to do something on the Sabbath that the Jewish law said you couldn't do. Now look at verse 2. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. Dropsy is a condition where fluid builds up in the body and in some of the body cavities. And there's tremendous swelling, there's tremendous pain with this, and oftentimes your skin will seep fluids. You can't hardly walk by yourself. We had a lady that used to come here regular, and she's died several years ago, but Miss Lee, some of you remember Miss Lee, she had it really bad. In fact, Nancy Creek had it as well. Very painful, hard to get around. But under normal circumstances, the Pharisees and rulers would have nothing to do with a person like this. They for sure would not have invited that man with dropsy to this banquet, this supper. What they were doing was setting up Jesus, because they knew that Sabbath and Jesus would feel for that man, feel the mercy and grace for that man, and heal the man. So let's keep on going and look at verse 3 and see if Jesus really feels out of place or not. And Jesus answered, they didn't ask a question, but Jesus answered, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Is it? Jesus didn't feel out of place with this question and the answer deal. He knew what he was going to do. He knew he'd been set up. He knew that they were just waiting to catch him doing something. What could they say to Jesus that he hadn't already heard before and he knew what was going to take place. This setup was not about healing, but it was about healing on the Sabbath. Jesus would work on the Sabbath, and they were waiting for him to work on the Sabbath. And if he was going to work on the Sabbath, they were going to accuse him of not keeping the Sabbath holy. The Jewish law, it prevented you from working on the Sabbath most of the time, but run over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, verses 1 and 2. And this is their thinking. This is what's going on in the back of their mind. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." Can you imagine the conversation that was going on in their heads when they saw the disciples just plucking a few things because they were hungry? How would you react to that if you were Jesus? Would you heal the man on the Sabbath or not? Would you expect Jesus to heal somebody on the Sabbath? I think probably not. I think we would probably not take a stand and say, we'll do it on Monday. Maybe not, I don't know. Notice their reaction, and then notice Jesus' reaction. So we'll look at verse 4, see their reaction, then verses 5 and 6, and see Jesus' reaction. Verse 4, but they kept silent, and they took him and healed him. Jesus took him and healed him and let him go. And he answered them, saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen in the pit, will not immediately pull him out of this on the Sabbath day? The question is this: is an animal more important than a human being? Is the Sabbath so rigid that Jesus could not perform a healing? Is it so rigid that we can't perform a work for God? Several years ago, we had a lady from California. She just got dropped off right in our parking lot. She had two big old suitcases. She had every belonging she had in those two suitcases, and she was sitting by the two front doors where we come in, the glass doors, waiting for us to get to church. She knew that she needed to find a safe place to stay and to get some information from us. We get here and we see this lady, and she tells us the story. She's from California. She came in view of a job, but she wasn't even sure where that job was going to be. Came to church, and she wasn't expecting anything from us, so we invited her to come in and worship with us. And she sat right back there, and she worshiped with us. As we began to leave, we asked her what was she going to do, and she had no idea what she was going to do. This is our Sabbath. This is Sunday now. We fed her. We provided room for her down at the hotel, down at into Boot Hill. Made sure she had plenty of food, made sure she had a place to stay, gave her a little bit of money. Is that working on Sabbath? Is that breaking the Sabbath? What would have happened had we said, no, we'll have to wait till Monday? That's what the Jews were up to. They were trying to catch Jesus doing something that he should be doing for somebody. If it had been you and me, we had the dropsy, we'd sure want Jesus to heal us on a Sunday or a Sabbath back then, Saturday. Yeah. Jesus did not let the man with dropsy down. He didn't let the father down. He didn't do anything wrong. Yet they had their minds, their hearts were after Jesus. Well, let's look at the second lesson Jesus teaches us in verses 7 through 14. So Jesus told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited and you go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher, then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And Jesus said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. That lady that we took care of could not repay us. We didn't expect to be repaid. That was Jesus' money to begin with, to take care of her. That was his food to take care of her. But the point of this story is, make sure that you're not trying to satisfy self. Make sure you're not exalting self over anybody else. Make sure that you have the correct attitude. When you go in a place, don't sit in the place of the prominent place, the place of number one. Take a lesser seat. When you invite somebody over to your house, how many of us are guilty of inviting like-minded people? We invite our friends. We invite those that are close to us. We invite church members. But Jesus says, they're going to invite you back. We invite them expecting to be invited back sometimes. What's he tell us to do? To invite people that are in need. To invite people that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Have the maimed come over. Have the people that are lacking of something come over to the house and take care of their needs. That's what Jesus expects from us. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Well, before I do, if you want to be blessed, look at verse 14. You'll be blessed because those you invite cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection. You shall be repaid when you look Jesus in the eye. It sounds to me like lay up your treasures in heaven. Run over to Proverbs chapter 16. Verses 18 and 19. Proverbs 16, verse 18 and 19. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Isn't that the same idea? Invite the less fortunate. Feed them, take care of them, do it in the name of Jesus. A few questions. Does Jesus' presence make you uncomfortable? I'm glad you're shaking. I hope we all say no, he doesn't, but I want you to answer that in your heart. When you're doing something at your house and it's just you there, would you feel any different if Jesus walked into your house as you were doing it? I think some of us would be very uncomfortable knowing that Jesus walked into our house and caught us doing something. Well, let me tell you, if you're a Christian, he's already there. He knows what you're doing and when you're doing it. Do you act and talk the same when you don't think you're in the presence of God? Does our conversation, does it please God all the time? Do we say things among each other that are not really, they're not nasty, but they're not godly? Our conversation, is it the same around Jesus as it is everybody else? Have you ever tried to set Jesus up? We know what the Bible says about life, about everything we ought to be about, yet we'll take the Bible and we'll twist it to fit our needs. Or we'll just absolutely reject part. We'll almost read our Bible. I like this. I like this. I don't like that page, so I'll rip it out. It has nothing to do with my life. Are we really trying Jesus when we do that? Has your pride ever been a problem? Me first. Look at me. What can that church do for me? Often people leave our church because we didn't do for them like they thought we should. Sometimes we bend over backwards trying to serve somebody, and then the one time we don't, they get mad and they leave. Is that pride? That's the kind of pride that goes before destruction. Their life is going to fall apart unless they get right with God about that. And then there's some forgiving going on both sides. When you have any kind of get-together, do you invite just your friends or do you invite people over that need something, especially if they need the Lord? What better way to share the Lord Jesus Christ with somebody than having them over and sharing a hot dog or a hamburger with them? Sharing a chocolate cake with them, ice cream, homemade ice cream, just talking around the machine as it's twirling around. You want me to tell you a story about your preacher when he was kind of stupid? Another one. We were making ice cream at home, had a whole bunch of people over, and I grew up, I heard my daddy say so many things that I copied my daddy, whether it's right or wrong. And he told me one time, you don't need rock salt to make ice cream, you can just put table salt on it. So that's what I did. I put table salt on it. I think I never did slow down. I put more salt on it. I didn't have any rock salt. It just kept on. Finally, I took that thing apart and I put a screwdriver down the middle trying to stop that little thing that goes around and around. I broke the ice cream machine because ignorance. Rhonda said, next time we'll get some rock salt, won't we? Well, we have a whole box of rock salt at home, always. But the neat thing about that was there was a lot of conversation about me taking that thing apart. And we had a great time. Well, they had a great time kidding me about it. But that's the kind of things that can take place when you do something at home. You get around an ice cream maker and you just talk. People you don't know, and you know they don't know the Lord. You just talk to them. If you read verses 1 through 12 and read it all the way through, there's one thing that just stands out that just kind of hit me right there. These people invited Jesus over to dinner to have supper. And they knew who Jesus was. They did not know he was the Messiah, but they knew they thought he was a prophet and a teacher, but they knew he was a godly man claiming to be the Lord. So they set out this whole spread of food, and never once in this verse, in these verses, did it say they prayed over the food. When we have food at our homes, when we have meals, do we pray every time thanking the Lord for our meal? When we go out to eat, are we embarrassed to pray or do we just pray over the food? Thank you, Lord. Or it could be a quick prayer. If I'm eating with you, make it a quick prayer because I would like to eat. But thank you, Lord, for the blessings of a dinner. Thank you for the fellowship, whoever you're eating with. Just thank the Lord. These people were out to get the Lord and they just bypass the praying altogether. So how do you put all this together? It's real simple. Know this, that you will never make Jesus uncomfortable no matter what you're doing. He will always love you. He will always forgive you if you ask. Whether it be in your house, in church, or out doing whatever we do out there, Jesus never gives up on us. And we can be the worst sinners in the world, but yet Jesus will show up and show us a godly example. He'll show us how to invite the Lord in our hearts if we don't know him, but he'll also tell us how to confess our sins without chastising us too much. This whole story, I never got the concluding thing because there was so much going on until I just said, Lord, I do not know how to close this. And the very moment I said that, he said, tell them I love them. There's nothing we can do that Jesus will stop loving us. He's such a wonderful God, such a wonderful Savior. I've heard people say, you don't know what I've done, preacher. Well, I don't, but Jesus does, and he still loves you. maybe somebody's thinking like that today. Preacher, you've said all these things and you just have no idea what I've been into. I don't. The Lord does. But He'll still forgive you. He still loves you. So we're going to have an invitation, and an invitation is this. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come forward and let's pray about that. In your pew, you can do this. Lord, forgive me for the stuff, for the sinful stuff that I do constantly. He'll forgive you. He'll show you that He loves you. Jesus is full of grace and mercy. If you feel neglected, ask Him to show you mercy. Ask Him to show you grace. I guarantee you, if you ask Him that with a broken heart, you'll feel grace in your heart just as fast as you can say it. You'll feel mercy and forgiveness just as fast as you can ask it. That's what Jesus does. He goes into sinners' homes and He shows them what's wrong in their life and loves them into the kingdom of God. So let's stand, and God put something on your heart, a decision. Come on forward and we'll pray about it and make sure we're doing what God wants us to. A second part to that story about the lady here. I'll share it with you. Don't we love Bobby? I'm very grateful that he joined our church. He's been such a helpmate to the preacher. But part of the second part of this story is Bobby was visiting at the time that lady came here. And he heard the story how she was hungry, needed a place to stay, and he went home, and he got, if you know Bobby, he's got that much to eat. I mean, he's got everything out of his garden and everything, and he's got a, he could feed the whole church. In fact, everybody's invited over to Bobby's house today. Well, he felt guilty, so he was going to bring her back some food and take care of her. So he gets back here, and Ginger's pulling in. She had got the credit card and taken the lady down to the hotel and paid for her and came back. And that's the reason he joined our church, because we did what God told us to do, and we did ministry in the name of Jesus. So there's always more to Jesus' story than meets the eye. I already knew about that, but that's what he was coming up sharing with me again. We do what God wants us to do, and we'll be blessed.
Amen.
Yeah.
I wanted to join a church that had a heart.
He wanted to join a church that had a heart, and he found one. Yeah. David, would you close us?